The toy bar is open. Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your host and toy bar flies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by the Crazy Kings of Toys! This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com. This week, not necessarily brought to you by the Crazy Kings of Toys because apparently the company they used for their shopping cart went bye-bye. And the Crazy Kings of Toys right now is down.
Oh, no.
Well, they'll be back. But nobody go to CrazyKingsToys.com right now because there's nothing there. You're not going to see nothing. It's you're just going to get errors.
Things are tough all over.
I know, right? It's been a tough week for everyone. I guess they just told everybody that they were down. Huh. So I don't know how long they've actually not been up, but Crazy Kings will be back.
Yeah.
So right now it's just brought to you by us.
By us, yeah.
Yay. Grumpy Dave and Grumpy Duvall.
I think Dave's just kind of average, but Duvall's definitely making up for the grumpy factor.
Duvall's had a bad day.
Duvall's had a very bad day.
Starting with the fact that YouTube, for some reason, my upload speeds for YouTube suck, and I don't know why, because usually they're really good. And I've been trying to upload episode 9 of Collection Expansion, which hopefully by the time you hear this on Thursday, it will have already been up.
Hopefully.
It's at 15% right now, and I've been uploading since, we're recording this now at 6:15. I've been uploading this since quarter after three.
Sure,
so
why not?
About 3 hours, and it's taken 3 hours to get to 15%. And looking at the screen right now, it says it has 905 minutes left. I don't know why I'm paying for internet. Because it's...
Well, then you wouldn't be able to interact with YouTube at all.
Well, that's true. But still, it's annoying. It's like, really, why are my upload speeds less than a meg? Like 0.35 megs. It's like, really?
I don't know.
Like, that's dial-up speeds and then some.
Yeah.
So, it's not been fun, considering that the website's been really good about, you know, we've had reviews up every day for the last... You know, the last week and yesterday, and then today got screwed up because my upload speed's below. And it's like, well, this is awesome.
Yeah.
YouTube needs an alternative uploader that isn't tied specifically to Flash or the website. Like how Blip TV had their FTP uploader. And I bet you I could go to FTP and just upload that file to Blip immediately. But the fact is I'd have to shrink it down and then you lose quality. So YouTube allows you to upload it in, you know, full quality. So... I understand the file's 3 gigs, but usually most of the collection expansion episodes we do are about that big. So I don't know why it's taking forever. It's very frustrating and annoying.
Hmm.
Makes Jason a very sad Jason.
Yeah. Jason's not a happy camper today.
No. No, not at all. So, but other than that,
meh.
Hadn't been too bad, I guess. How is my co-host Dave Driver?
Hey! I'm pretty good. Pretty good. Had a long weekend. A lot of driving around.
Yeah, a lot of driving.
A lot of driving around. Went to CoilCon.
Yeah.
Kokomo, Indiana.
Well, let's talk about that before we get started. You went to CoilCon, which is Kokomo, Indiana's yearly gathering.
Yeah, it's CoilCon is like the Midwest G.I. Joe Collectors Club.
Right.
And CoilCon's their little convention.
Yeah.
And it was neat. It was fun. It basically was kind of like the dealer's room at JoeCon. In fact, many of the same dealers.
Oh, okay.
Like Roma Collectibles.
Right.
And some other ones. And it's right there at Kokomo. In fact, they had so many people that there was like literally the fire marshal made them have a line to get into the store.
Oh, yeah.
So you had to like wait in line until people came out again.
Yeah, because the store's so tiny anyway.
Yeah, the store's small and cramped. But
yeah.
It's cramped because it's full of stuff.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and it was fun to kind of hang out with the What's on Joe Mind guys.
Oh, yeah.
I met a fellow Joe guy from Peoria.
Oh, cool.
Which was cool. And our pal Chuck from Star Joe's was actually set up at a table.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so I bought actually got a really good deal off of him for a 25th Alpine.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, which is from that one DVD set that's like stupid rare and
stupid
expensive.
Stupid rare, yeah.
So, and yeah, there was a lot of dealers. It was interesting. There was a lot of stuff. I mean, there was the G.I. Joe stuff that you'd expect, but there was a lot of other, like, random, interesting stuff.
Right.
You know, a lot of it was I was sending you pictures.
Yeah.
Constantly, because it was like, oh, Jason would like that. Jason would like that. Jason would like that.
And I told Carrie, I was showing Carrie the pictures, and she at one point jokingly went, you text him back, and you tell him stop sending you pictures. Because I was like, oh, my God, I want that. And she's like, no.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh.
But, yeah, I got you some Rebel Force guys.
Yeah, not bad. $3 for $10
$3 for $10
I'll take them.
Yeah. There were some Gnarlies that I thought were a decent price.
Yeah, they were like, what, $10 a piece?
$10 a piece.
$10 a piece? That's a good price for those.
I got a deal on them, too. Yeah. They were on the card.
Yeah.
Yeah, got a good deal on them because they were cheaper than Ultra Magnus.
So. Yes. Very true.
He wanted like $100 for those Jason the Wild Warrior the big box sets.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All I saw was the picture you'd sent me was the Gnarlies, and then I could see some little battle packs. For Jason the Wheel Warriors, like the little peggable battle packs.
Yeah.
But then he had the actual vehicle sets. Yeah. That's about right for a box Jason the Wheel Warrior set, about $100.
Okay.
I mean, they're pretty tough to find in any shape, really.
Yeah.
So that's one of those lines that is just parts and pieces.
Yeah.
Literally breaks down to too many pieces. So
there was, I always forget the name of the guy who does the really cool custom custom G.I. Joe vehicles.
Right.
Who you got my pilot for.
Yeah.
He was there.
Oh, cool.
The only thing is, like, his stuff is really cool. Kind of needs to come up with one or two more vehicles because it's like,
right.
Okay, it's the his tank bulldozer. That's really neat.
Right.
And it's 2 years now. Come on, man.
Well, but it probably sells really well for him. That's why he keeps making it. Yeah. So.
But I'm like, come on, show me something new. I got that already. I want to buy something else. He had a really cool, I can't remember what it's from. But it was one of those big, huge, like, solar machine things, probably from the cartoon, maybe from the comic, that Cobra probably hijacked to create worldwide chaos.
Right.
I forget what it was called. Yeah, this was sort of almost humiliating because it was like we kept having these conversations and I kept having to admit that I'm basically a fraud and don't really know that much about G.I. Joe.
That you're basically a fraud?
I'm a fraud because, like, all these guys are, like, super, you know, you're dealing with, like, the elite Joe people.
Right. There's a big spider on my computer.
Oh, wow.
Keep talking. I'm going to try to figure out how to kill this thing.
Oh, this is going to be exciting. So,
he's running. Yeah. I don't know where he went.
Yeah. He's over by the Rebel Force now.
You little bastard. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I killed it.
Did you?
I did. Ladies and gentlemen, the exciting things that happened.
Yeah.
David Navall's Toys and Collectibles. Well, that thing dropped right out of the ceiling, and at first I was like, where did it go? Because I saw it drop, and I'm like looking at myself going, did that thing fall on me?
I was wondering what you were doing.
Yeah, no, he fell on my laptop. Anyway, back to CoilCon.
Yeah, it was fun. I had a good time.
Well, good.
Yeah.
It looked really cool. I mean, I was telling you before we started recording, I got one of the last pictures you sent me yesterday.
Yeah.
And CoilCon was on Saturday. So one of your pictures, I finally realized, I was like, why does it say I still have a multimedia message from Dave? I'm like, I thought I saw all those. And I clicked through and looked because I'm like, I played on my phone Sunday and it never said anything about having a message from you. So I don't know why, but I was like, oh. And then I clicked on it and it finally loaded after 20 minutes. I'm like, oh my God, I hate my service. I hate my phone. And then I was like, oh, look at that. It's a Savage Strike headquarters. How much did that guy want for it?
I don't remember.
You didn't find out?
I don't remember. I didn't really look too hard because you had one already.
Oh, that's true. But that's always one of those.
I was just more like, hey, neat. You'll think this is neat.
That's always one of those things that if I saw it in the wild, I'd be like, how much you want for that?
Yeah.
Not that I'm going to buy it, but I'm just like, I wonder how much he wants for it because our buddy Mike Lacey got – it was my Christmas present.
Yeah.
And I know where it came from, and it was not expensive at all.
But there was – the only real hitch was that the exclusive sets were not there.
No, yeah.
Yeah, they were. They, in fact, were not even in the state by 9 o'clock.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was somebody bringing them in?
Someone was bringing them in, and he was not answering his text or his phone, which caused a lot of heartache.
Right.
By the time they got there, they still didn't have the actual boxes.
Really?
So, yeah, like you could see them like walking back to the car with all the foam inserts, because I guess at some point they just made an executive call to bag everything.
Really?
Well, you could fill out a form to get the box sent to you.
Right.
And, of course, like I was in Indianapolis anyway because I was with my girl Cherry at another thing that was about an hour away. And by the end of the day, which is when they finally got there, I'm kind of like eager to get back.
Right.
You know, because I don't know. It was an interesting experience. But yeah, so I'm like, and then they're like, oh, well, you can fill this form to get your thing. I'm like, oh.
Oh, man.
Please let me be first in line so I don't have to wait everyone to fill out the form. I was second in line.
Well, that's good.
I was second in line, and I just told Mike, look, just get the box for me. Give it to me at the next Toy Man.
Yeah, exactly. So, we'll see him in a few weeks anyway.
Yeah, hopefully.
So, which is weird because I don't think he went to the last Toy Man, did he?
He did not. He was actually in Indianapolis or Kokomo in preparation for QuakeCon.
Oh, for QuakeCon. I got you. Because
he was the project manager.
I got you. Yeah, because I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, I thought that was weird. I'm like, I didn't see Mike at the last Toy Man.
No,
was
he's been busy with QuakeCon stuff. Yeah. They basically, you know, it's between Kokomo Toys and...
What's on Joe Mind.
What's on Joe Mind.
Right.
The ones that put it on. So, yeah, he's been warning and coordinating and planning and working on it.
Well, good.
So it was nice, yeah.
It would be nice to see him.
Free hot dogs. And,
free hot dogs.
Yeah.
Free hot dogs are awesome.
And then, of course, I think the big thing for most of our fans that will be interested to hear is they had right in front of the store this big pile. If you've ever seen that famous shot of all the flags.
Of the flags, yeah.
So I guess they took them all down and took them all apart. And they were selling, like, the chunks of the superstructure $5 a pop.
Yep.
So I was like, and I've always wanted the tower, like a separate tower.
A separate tower.
Just so that when I want to like shoot stuff, I don't have to like tear down my flag.
Right.
And reset it up and then re-put it back together again. So I've always wanted just the tower.
Right.
So I got the tower and I got the one section of deck. They only had one of them, but that one section of deck that goes to the tower.
Right.
Which is huge. Like it's even bigger than I remember.
Oh, yeah.
Because I have it all set up. So
yeah, and it's like that whole section of the deck is the middle section.
It's the middle section. It's big.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's why I got 2.5, my 0.5 for $20.
That's not bad.
That's not bad at all.
That's not bad at all.
No.
It's a good price.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that picture and showed it to Carrie, and I was like, look, and she went,
I know. Well, no, but the weird thing is we had actually had that conversation.
Yeah, we have.
We'd had that conversation where I explained to her, look, I do want a separate tower, and I explained why I want it.
Right.
And she was like, oh, you know, I mean, I don't think she'll ever be like, oh, that makes sense.
Right.
But she was like, I can understand your reasoning behind that.
$20 is a heck of a lot better than spending a ridiculous amount of money on eBay for two chunks.
Because that flight deck alone is usually worth, what, $60-$80?
Probably.
Something like that.
So they just probably had just boxes full of flag parts, basically.
Yeah. Well, and they were, you know, they all need to be cleaned and loved.
Yeah,
and
they were just
on, but
nasty. But that was probably the remnants of that classic picture of all the flags they bought over the years.
Sure.
I gotcha. Because they probably just cherry-picked pieces and parts to complete other ones, and parts got left, yeah. That's cool, though.
Like, I realize the two sections where the doors are, they don't have the doors. Mm. They don't have any of the... I mean, it's just literally the super section part.
Right.
But that's fine.
Yeah, you don't need the doors, really.
No, I don't need... Because I don't think I'll... I don't... Those particular rooms aren't going to get a lot of attention. It's mostly going to be the bridge.
Right.
Is why I got it.
Yeah.
And I can just swap out those parts from the bridge, which is a lot easier than tearing the whole thing down.
Exactly, yeah.
So...
I can't say I did much exciting things this weekend. We were going to record an episode of Married this weekend for this week because it, you know, it was due, but we're going to hold off until after next weekend because we'll have more stories because we start our vacation at the end of this week. I still have to work like 4 hours a day, but it's because I don't have enough time to take a whole week off, but whatever. That happens.
Yeah.
I had a lot of things come up this year that I was like, I got to have this day off, or I was just like, I got to take a day off.
Yeah. Well,
especially when I was in the office. So through April, I was just like, I hate my job. I want to go home. So, we did drive around this weekend, and Saturday night we were sitting in bed playing on the computer, looking at our good buddy Yoda Soup, Alex McKay.
Yeah.
We were looking at his pictures on Facebook of his collection. And we were going through them, and I was just like, ugh. I'm like, looking at these makes me want to go to the flea market tomorrow morning. So we got up and went to the flea market. And of course, it was all the hot. But after the flea market, she's like, do you want to go to the antique malls? And I'm like, sure.
Yeah.
Like, let's
ask you twice.
Yeah. I'm like, why not? I'm like, we ain't got nothing. You know, we don't have anything better to do today. We might as well, like, get out of the house and have some fun. And so we journeyed around. And then this weekend, we've got some plans. And, I lost my voice there for a second.
Yeah.
Sounded like I was getting all verklempt.
Verklempt.
Verklempt. I saw somebody in St. Louis on Craigslist had a rather large collection of complete My Little Pony playsets.
Yeah.
And there's some couple broken pieces here and there, but, I mean, they were complete. Like, everything's there. And the prices were too good to pass up. I think everything, adding up the playsets that the lady wanted, ended up coming to like $160.
Yeah.
And she threw in like a set of ponies that had some writing on their feet for free.
Magic
Eraser,
I'm telling
you. Yep, I know.
Oh,
trust
me.
I've got one. I've used them. They're amazing little
devices.
Aren't they? Yes, they are.
That's why I keep going on about them.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, she sent me an invoice for that last night that I'm going to pay today. And
cool.
So, you know, but we were having a conversation before we went on when I was showing you the pictures And you were saying, well, you voice, she, Dave was like, you're, I don't get you sometimes.
Well, it's a little confusing because it's like, yeah, you're the pony guy. And then, like, just for years, every time ponies come up, you're like, no. But apparently, you were just biding your time.
I was biding my time. The reason I've always just kind of been like, people were always like, oh, we want to see Duvall cover ponies. And it's like, you guys don't understand. I can't find these in a complete enough condition to do them justice. Like,
yeah.
There's just half of them came with so much stuff that it's impossible.
Well, yeah, that's how I am with G.I. Joe stuff.
Right. And I just didn't want to dip my toe into that. Well, this, you know, the play sets on here were some really great play sets from the early run of the series that were in really great condition. She's got some more that they're still going through. And it was like, I told Carrie, as like when we were going through the antique malls, I think I'm going to buy those. I'm like, I can't. Like, it's a good price for what's there. I'm like, just one of those play sets we saw in an antique mall that wasn't even complete. Because all of these are clean. Like, they look like they've barely been played with.
Yeah.
And they've been stored properly. Some of them have a couple broken pieces here and there, but nothing that can't be fixed.
Yeah.
And they're clean. We saw a show stable, which is one of the medium, like a little bit larger play sets that has a ton of pieces. We saw it in an antique mall. Like a year ago, and I think we talked about it on one of the early shows, of the early married shows, and we were going to buy it, and the guy wanted $60 for it, and it wasn't all there. It was missing pieces. It was broken. It was nasty. So, you know, you figure for the five play sets that I'm getting, all the extra parts I'm getting and the ponies for $160, it's a good price.
Yeah.
The only problem is we got to drive to Florissant, Missouri, which is in St. Louis.
It's only 2 hours. It's not that bad.
Yeah, well, we plan on making a trip to St. Louis anyway, so...
Yeah, there you go.
On our vacation. So we'll just make a pit stop and pick those up.
There you go.
Yeah. And they're already be paid for, so the lady's more than happy to, you know, just let us bide our time and come get them. So, that was, I don't know, I just couldn't pass that kind of deal up. I was just like, if I don't, I'm going to kick myself, you know. They're in too good of a shape to just let somebody else grab, and they'd been on there for a week already. So it was like, somebody's going to grab these real soon.
Yeah.
Be surprised at the stuff you can find on the St. Louis Craigslist that you can't find on ours.
Well, duh.
I know, right?
I mean, my thing is I can't figure out how you get someone else's Craigslist because it always pops up for Springfield for me. And I'm like, no, I don't want Springfield. Nobody lives in Springfield.
You can just like Google like Craigslist Missouri and Craigslist St. Louis and it'll pull those up instead.
All
right.
I thought there was just a Craigslist that you go to.
There is.
Then
you
pick out your city.
It always
picks mine.
It automatically connects you to whatever zip code you're closest to by GPS, I think, or something crazy. Went and helped our buddy Bob Goo this weekend.
Oh, did you?
Well, he had some parts and stuff. He gave me a call, and he's like, hey, I got this big collection of stuff, and you should see it. There's Jurassic Park stuff, and, you know, there's small soldiers. I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, rewind. I'm like, I want the small soldier stuff for sure. I'm like, I want those figures. I'm like, he's like, does Dave want any of this Jurassic Park? I'm like, Dave has everything Jurassic Park unless you get a command center. And then I'm sure Dave will talk to you.
Yeah.
But I'm like, Dave, trust me, has everything that he wants from Jurassic Park minus that. And he's like, oh, well, I've got these pieces and weapons too, and I don't know who they go to. And I'm like, well, I can come help you.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll come help you and try to ID them. So went over there, tried to ID them, couldn't ID them. I couldn't figure out why. One of them I did, but the rest of them I was like, I don't know what these go to. I'm like, these do not look familiar at all. They don't look like they go to anything that I'm familiar with. So, we kind of sit around and talked, and I got the small soldiers figures, found a Ghostbusters backpack for one of the Winstons I have downstairs. Like, not the actual proton pack, but it's the one where it looks like he's riding a saw blade. It's I don't remember the line. I do not remember the Ghostbuster line that's from, but I had it as a kid, and I had the Winston, which I think I found at Fred's, but I couldn't find the backpack. Well, I found the backpack from Bob, and it was just sitting on a bookcase, and I was like, I'll take this.
Okay.
Thanks, Bob. So I did that, and that was pretty interesting because I love Bob. He's, you know, we've told stories. He's an all right guy, but sometimes he makes things out to be way better than they really are.
No.
Yeah, I know. I was like, I expected so much more, and I got there, and I was like, oh, well, I'll take these figures and this backpack. But other than that, man, I don't know. Like, he had a Beetlejuice figure, and I was like, nah. I was like, I'm all right. I was like, Beetlejuice could wait a while. I'm like, that's not necessarily the line I'm getting into right now. So,
yeah.
But other than that, finished off my firehouse this week.
Oh, hey, congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you.
How much did it cost you?
All together, I don't know, $70.
Yeah. Oh my god!
I know.
Wow, I beat you by $30.
I know. But somebody put an auction up that, well, not an auction, but somebody put a listing up that had both parts of the containment center and the Ghostbuster sign and the armband from the proton pack, the kid size proton pack. And I was like, I had to buy it now for a really good price. And I was like, because, you know, the sign sells for $20. The pieces, the containment unit, are usually like $15 or $20 a piece. And I was like, I think she had like a buy it now of $25.99. And I was like, I'm not passing that up. Like, I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to buy my time anymore. That's a good price. I'm going to take them. So I finished that off, and I'm happy. They're not here yet. They should be, but the rest of my fire pole and all that came finally. The seller shipped it out in two different boxes. I don't know why. I don't know why they wouldn't just put it together and ship it together. But one box came last week, one box came this week, and I was like, oh, well, that's great. Like, I'm glad that you didn't ship those out together, because for the longest time it was just the pole, and I was like, oh, so sad.
So, speaking of shipping, I have a story.
Okay.
Well, you know, I ordered my case of the Ultimate Wave of Joes from Kokomo.
From Kokomo, of all places.
So, of
course,
it shipped like the day before I left.
Right, exactly.
Naturally.
Of course.
Because I'm going there anyway. So I get home and I check the tracking. I figured it would be, I literally figured the day I was there it would be on my doorstep.
Right.
I get home, it's not there. So I check the tracking and it's in Orlando, Florida.
Why is it in Orlando, Florida?
I don't know. Apparently, that's how you ship things from Indianapolis
to Illinois.
To Illinois. Indiana from Illinois, you ship it via Orlando. I'm like, oh, great. Shades of
Maddie Collector.
No, not Maddie Collector. Shades of my Jetfire set.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and it's like, okay. And if it did a quick turnaround, it got to Illinois the next day. And like when the guy delivered it, I kind of had a knife in hand. I'm like, open it up.
Yeah.
Make sure everything's in there.
Yeah.
I was just like, great, it's in Orlando. And our friend Wheelor, like, his got shipped to Missouri and then got shipped back to Kokomo. He still doesn't have it.
Weird.
Yeah, he I just got a text from him right before we started recording he still doesn't have his.
Well,
by the way, I would taunt him, but he doesn't listen to these things like for weeks.
So by the time we taunt him, he'll be like,
he'll have them.
Yeah.
But they're very nice.
I mean,
Sean.
You know, that's.
They're very nice.
Are they? Well, I mean, that's, you know, Kokomo's the first time they're doing this.
I think it's
major hiccups. And
I will say one cool thing, though. At one point, because people were going in, because they had, like, just a wall
full of those figures.
Of Ultimate Wave alone.
Right.
And people were buying them left and right. And at one point, they did a thing where they just, any kid, they were giving away the Firefly from that wave.
Oh, really?
Giving them away to kids.
Yeah.
And the best part was I was sitting there, and this kid walks up to his dad, and the dad goes, oh, that's the one that I just bought for $10.
Yeah. It's like, sorry.
Yeah,
Kokomo was giving them away to children.
Yeah,
I mean they are really are a good store. You know,
yeah, it's a cool store. It's a very cool store. It's a cool place. It's, I mean, you know, it's one of those things like, it's like Damien's store,
right?
Except instead of the focus being split on cards and toys and this and that, it's all action figures. Imagine Damien's store,
just all action figures.
There are cases full of just whatever you can imagine, Star Wars and Masters and Silverhawks and Thundercats and
awesome,
and then the rows. You know, I mean, there's like two or three rows of just G.I. Joe. There's Marvel Universe. There's just cases, and they're all, you know, a line of Snake Eyes and a line of this figure and a line of that figure.
Nice,
and it's just all lined up, all geared up. You know,
that's cool.
So yeah, and then of course the ceiling's just covered with all the different planes from it.
Yeah, which everything in the store is for sale, isn't it?
Yeah, I assume so.
Yeah, yeah. I want to go there sometime.
It's neat.
Yeah. Carrie and I have some plans. We're going to go to, there's a car museum. And, well, it's not a museum. It's which I'm sure people are listening to this going, weird, Duvall's not into cars.
Yeah,
well,
I was just about to say that.
Well, it's the Volo Auto Museum.
Sure.
And it's, they have, it's just like a big, like a theme park, basically, with cars. But they have, like, all of these superhero cars, like the...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like the... All the...
Like Batmobile. The Batmobiles. Green Hornet's car.
Yeah, Green Hornet's car. The Munsters coach. The Munsters Dracula. Christine. The car from Tucker. Ghost Rider. Mad Max. Green Hornet. Fast and the Furious. Grease. Barricade from Transformers. The DeLorean. You know, just all of these either original pieces or reproductions.
Reproductions that look... And, yeah.
So Carrie was like, that looks like fun, doesn't it? I'm like, yeah, it looks like fun. Let's go do that. And she's like, well, there's antique malls right across the street. And I'm like, of course there are.
Of course there is.
Like, well, yes, there are. So we're like, you know, that's kind of our plans this weekend is to go to do one of those or sometime this week anyway.
So where is that?
It is in Volo, Illinois.
Okay.
So I So pretty exciting. I'm looking forward to it. We're kind of excited. We need to get out of
we're
the state.
Kind of excited.
We need to get out of town for a little while.
Yeah.
We're both just like, oh. Because usually every September for our anniversary, we take a vacation somewhere, and that's we don't always go out of town, but we were like, yeah, we're not going to go out of town this year. Let's just go somewhere else. So she's been kind of researching stuff to do close by.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, and that was one of the things. So makes it should be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, try to sound a little less excited about it.
I know.
You're overwhelming the audience with your enthusiasm.
It's just been a bad...
I know.
It's been a bad week so far, and the week's just begun.
Dude, believe me, there was a moment where I was sitting there, like, at CoilCon, like, rethinking my life.
Really?
Well, I mean, I woke up that morning next to a beautiful woman.
Right.
Curled up next to me, and left her to go...
To go buy toys.
And there comes a point where you're like... I believe I may have made the wrong decision. Well, it's easy for you. You do it every day. So I mean,
well,
it's like, you was like, no big deal. I wake up to a beautiful woman every morning.
Yeah.
Lucky you. Some of us only get that like once every month or two.
I don't know. I woke up to a grumpy, beautiful woman today.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
Yeah.
But it was hard.
Yeah.
It was weird. I mean, you know, because we don't really see each other anyway a lot. But
right.
I really like felt that day.
Really?
Like, what the hell am I doing with my life?
Where did I go wrong?
Well, because, you know, I mean, honestly, I think some of the people out there probably can sympathize with this. I think the toy collecting in part was because for a very long time there were no beautiful women.
Right.
And so it was like, that was sort of what I did to fill the time.
Right.
So, well.
Understandable.
Yeah, it was interesting.
But you did leave to go buy toys, though.
Well, I know, but I meant to come back. I did expect to be there as long as I was, but like when I got there, I was like, oh, I kind of wish I could do a turnaround real quick.
Get out of there.
But no, I got to wait for these. And it's like, well, do I wait for them to show up or do I just leave? It's like, but I've been here so long.
Yeah,
it's
like, you're like.
I can't go back with nothing.
How were the exclusives? Are they pretty cool?
They're kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's based on. Well, see, again, I'm a fraud. I don't know this stuff. I think one of the characters is made up by the CoilCon guys.
Right.
And then the other one is based on Street Hawk, who was a Fun School India character.
Right.
Guy with a motorcycle.
Yeah.
And he's got a custom head. He's got a custom head and he's got the helmeted head. And then the other guy is Naga Bhut, who is this sort of Indian guy with a turban.
Oh.
Yeah, there was also a free, well, not a free, it wasn't supposed to be free, but because they kind of dropped the ball, we all ended up getting a free print of Naga Bhut.
Oh, cool.
By, I can't remember the artist's name, but he was actually there signing them. And he's standing there and he's got the big cannon between his legs. Like, I am compensating.
That's awesome. Good times.
Check to see that the power is on before you call customer service.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, it was neat.
Oh, man.
But yeah, like I said, got to hang out with Chuck and some other people, and
good.
It was really cool. It's fun to like hang out and talk with people about toys.
Well, yeah, you know. That isn't me.
Well, no, I mean I would have enjoyed having you there.
Well, yeah, I would have liked to have been there. I told Kara, I was like, I would have liked to gone, but
yeah,
I couldn't. You know, I couldn't this time because you know you were doing something else with Cherry.
Well,
so
yeah, but yeah, I mean you could have just gone on your own. But...
Well, yeah, that's true. Nah,
you don't need me attached to you.
That's true.
But what was I going to say? Oh, and ironically, I got a phone call from our friend Jay, who lives here in town. Or he actually, close enough to Springfield. But point being, we actually did get Masters at Big Lots.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Apparently, we got three of them.
That's it?
Yeah.
Three figures.
We got Icarus, Battleground Tila, which ironically, I bought at CoilCon.
Right.
And I forget who the third one was, but it was another kind of like, oh, yeah, him. Like, not like Orko or Mossman or anything exciting. It was another, oh, that guy.
That's it. We got like three figures. Multiples of those three? Or?
I don't know. He just said I think only those three. I don't know when he got there to let me know, but when he called, he said those were the three they had.
Wow. That's
so
funny.
Yeah.
We didn't get any Ghostbusters or anything either, huh?
No, he didn't say anything about Ghostbusters.
Wow. That's funny. Oh, well.
Springfield.
Yeah, that's what happens. What do you do?
I don't know.
That's our town for you.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad it was a fun weekend for toys this weekend for you.
Yeah.
It sounds like it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. It had its moments.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's awesome. I got to review last week, which was pretty interesting. Came in the mail. I reviewed it, turned around, I got it back out in the mail as soon as I could.
Oh yeah.
The New York Comic Con Captain Action Dr. Evil variant boxed edition. And that was pretty fun. That was a lot of fun to play with. I mean, the figure itself isn't a variant, it's just the same figure that's out, but the box it came in is the actual prototype, because it was just a flimsy piece of cardboard wrapped around. It was just like, oh, I don't want anything to happen to this. that was cool, though. That was nice. You know, it's cool to know that the Round 2 guys love us enough to send something like that. Because I was like, hey, you know, do you want me to do a video on that? And maybe, you know, hype it up a little bit. And they're like, oh, that'd be great. And then like, all we have is the prototype. We'll send you the prototype. And I'm like, but you got to send it back. And I'm like, okay, sure, no problem. So, yeah. So that came, did that, turned it around. That was a lot of fun to do. Saw a couple of people on their Facebook page that were kind of noisy about it. They're like, oh, good, do a review of something nobody's going to be able to get except people going to Comic-Con. Everybody was like, watch the video because... he tells you that you can actually order these, and they're very limited, but you have a chance to get it if you don't go to New York. And they're like, oh, okay. So, silly people.
Well, I mean, so what? We're not supposed to review any exclusives? Ever?
Well, the Captain Action people are kind of the fans, the hardcore fans are very very vocal about picking up all the Captain Action stuff they can. So when something like that happens and they can't make it to New York, they get a little vocal.
That's always a double-edged sword with a toy line.
I agree.
Muppets was like that too.
Oh yeah, yep. Well, again,
that got him in trouble.
Palisades. If you're a completist,
this isn't the line for you. That was the dumbest quote to ever utter at the beginning of a high-profile, expensive licensed
yes.
toy line.
Yes, it was.
Sorry, but yeah, no.
That is very, very true. Ooh, I do have to say that.
What do you have to say?
Sorry. I was going to say that I was trying to place a pre-order on Big Bad while we were talking there, but it's being silly.
Pre-order for what?
They finally listed. They had it up listed before, but it went away, and they finally relisted
these. That means
these,
it's sold out.
Well.
No, that's what that means. That means it's sold out.
They finally relisted upgrade parts for the Triple Changer Blitzwing to fix the shoulder problem and a new head and actual missiles.
Is the final product unpainted?
No, it'll be.
Okay.
It should be painted. I think that's just their. Even if it isn't. Even if it isn't, that's fine. Huh. So, yeah, but new design head and laser cannon and enhancement parts and missiles. And I was like, dang it, somebody needs to put those back up so I can get those.
Yeah, they just put up the second wave of Avengers with my beloved leader.
Oh.
Leader!
Yeah, I locked that down pretty quick.
Nice.
Along with other figures that I cared less about. But
along with other figures. So, yeah, I was like, awesome.
Ooh, your pre-order list is starting to look like mine used to.
Nah, not really.
Before the box got shipped.
Nah. No, not really. I mean, just Sailor Moon.
You got a Sailor Moon, Quake Wave, Sailor Mercury, Masterpiece Wheeljack, Masterpiece Bumblebee.
I understand those two masterpieces.
What's your parts thing? Did you order that?
Oh, I didn't. For some reason, my card's not on file, so we'll take care of that later.
Okay.
I'm sure we're boring people. They're like,
God. Let's read out your card information right here on the podcast.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's not. That'd probably be good.
Jason Duvall.
No.
D-E-V-A.
Stop it. Horrible. No, stop. Oh, God. I was going to talk about some toy news, but all that there's really to talk about is these retro figures from NECA.
Curse you, retro.
I know. NECA's doing a line of Mego-style 8-inch retro figures based on Freddy Krueger and Jason Voorhees from Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th, respectively.
Friday the 13th, Part 3.
Yeah, and...
I actually looked into this because, as you know, this is like one of the banes of my existence.
Right.
And I hate to say it, but because the one pass that I give to retro figures is if they could have existed or if they were going to exist, like the aliens,
right,
figures. I hate to say it, but Mego went out of business in 1983.
Yeah,
and Friday the 13th Part 3 was 1982.
Right.
So in an alternate universe where these kind of toys got made, it could have happened.
Exactly. And I think the first Nightmare,
I think first Nightmare on Elm Street was 84.
84, so. It might have been in the design phase.
but you know what I was thinking?
What
would be even cooler if you were going to do a retro figure for, like, Freddy or Jason?
Huh.
Kenner style.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
You know, like the 5-inch kind of clunky, boxy Kenner style. Mm. Because they did. You know, they had that phase where they did RoboCop and Aliens and Predator and, and all these kind of R-rated movies. Terminator. Yep. So that would be kind of neat to have like a Jason and a, you know.
Yeah, so why not do a...
Kenner style. That's what I would do. Late 80s Kenner style.
I know, right? That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know. They look good. The Freddy's kind of... I don't know. He looks good. The sweater, I think, needs a little work.
It's always hard to do cloth that scale and make it look good.
But the Jason Voorhees looks
pretty solid.
Looks pretty exceptional. Comes with a little
spear gun. It was the 3D one. That's,
yep.
That's actually the shot that everybody remembers is the spear being shot at the camera.
Yep.
I assume the mask is removable.
Looks like it. I'm sure it'll be sculpted underneath there.
That always, you know, that series always confused me because I didn't realize that Jason didn't start out as a zombie.
I always
thought, because, you know, he drowned.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, nope, he didn't drown.
Yeah.
So, like, he didn't die until, like, the fourth movie, which, like, I always thought he just started out as, like, this undead thing.
No. He just kind of, they slowly made him more and more zombie-like as the movies went on.
Well, they killed him, and then they brought him back in part 6.
Yeah, yeah.
So then he was officially a zombie.
Oh, yeah. Then he was just a killing machine.
That was the one with the Alice Cooper theme song that was really cool.
Yes.
Sorry. We're literally spinning our wheels, killing time to fill.
Well, and it's not even that. There's one thing that happened this last week that I really don't want to talk about because I'm sick of hearing about it.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
I have no idea.
Really?
It could be many things, but
it has to do with a certain sequel.
Oh, seriously? You're tired of hearing about Ben Affleck,
dude?
As Batman.
Affleck. We as fans, some groups of us are just out of control. I understand people don't like him. Cool. I got nothing against the man. Is he a great actor? Nah, probably not.
I don't know.
Is he a decent actor? Yeah. Is he a great director? Yeah, pretty much.
I don't know.
But
I realized that literally only Ben Affleck movie that I've actually seen is Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
And chunks of Daredevil on FX.
Yeah.
Like not the whole film.
Do we really need to send death threats to Ben Affleck?
Whoa, seriously?
And try to get the President of the United States to basically put into law that he cannot be Batman? Really?
That's got to be goofy.
There's a petition.
There's a stupid petition website
there. There's a petition out there. It's like, really, people, do we really need to have come that far down as a geek society that we are that upset that someone has been picked to play Batman?
See, the thing is, I've been gone all weekend, so I missed a lot of this. But I mean, I posted on Facebook right before I left that if for those of you who are old enough, and mushing your prune gum,
yeah,
when Michael Keaton got cast as Batman, there
was the
just as big a he's a comedy, he's Mr. Mom, it's Batman,
and understand there wasn't internet back then. This was all magazines.
Yeah, this is all just like
magazines, newsletters,
high school. Yeah. Screaming about it, freaking out. But yeah, there was a big, big thing about how Keaton was never going to be, and he's my favorite Batman.
Yeah. And I've tried to tell people that I've had conversations with since then that it's what's going to hinge his performance isn't how he plays Batman. It's going to end up being how he plays Bruce Wayne and how his Bruce Wayne comes off, because that's what makes Batman. That's what an actor makes as a Batman. Because if you look at Christian Bale's Bruce Wayne, it's a spectacular Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
And it makes his Batman, even with the goofy voice, that much more powerful. But
I don't know what you're talking about with goofy voices.
Yeah. George Clooney's Bruce Wayne was not a good Bruce Wayne.
No, the thing is, I thought it was a good Bruce Wayne. You know, I really think the tragedy of that is I think Clooney would have been a great Batman I realize that there's a contingent around these parts that loves that movie.
Right.
But I think if he had been in a better movie, he would have been a great iconic Batman.
I think so too.
Personally, because I think he had he's good looking, but he's like Sean Connery in the old days. He's good looking, but there's just enough roughness to him that you could imagine him as Batman.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know. I literally stayed off the internet for 2 days.
I was off because I was off doing stuff.
I was just like, I literally was like, okay, well, this is a great opportunity for me to keep my nose out of the internet and actually do some work.
But, I mean, my only thing, my only Like I said, I really haven't seen Affleck in anything for, in years that I can think of.
Right.
My only thing is they keep talking about this movie where he's going to be more like Frank Miller, Dark Knight, older, rougher, and I just don't see Affleck as that. I mean, right. I'm sorry. It's not that I hate him as Batman. It's just I don't see him as the Batman they're describing.
I gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And then what is this thing like? People keep talking like it's official that Bryan Cranston is going to be Lex Luthor, but I don't see anything about it on like the major movie sites.
Nobody's said that.
Apparently,
it's just,
apparently Rolling Stone did it, but
honestly, if it's not on Slash Film or Ain't It Cool, and Ain't It Cool is kind of
I haven't
even
seen it on Ain't It Cool.
Yeah.
Well, they're reliable in the sense that if it actually broke, they would get it right.
Exactly. So I haven't seen anything official about it. So until I see something official, it's not official.
I mean, that would be, like, to me, that's like, because for a while I thought it was official, and I'm like, well, the fan wanks got one.
Yeah.
Because everyone wants him because of Breaking Bad.
Right.
Because he shaved his head, and he's kind of a badass. They're like, oh, you should be Lex Luthor. It's like,
yeah, well.
I'm like, well, I don't disagree. He'd be great. But it's also very fan wanky. Like,
yeah, it is. I don't know.
Patton Oswalt is a Penguin. Did you ever see that one?
Yes, I saw that.
That was awesome.
He was good as the Penguin.
He was
pretty funny.
Good as the Penguin. Yeah.
I told someone this. I was on a live podcast over the weekend. I told them this.
Yes, you were.
I know. I cheated
on
you.
Another one of your whores.
Yeah, yeah. But I told him, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to pass judgment until I see the movie. Like, there's no reason, even with footage, there's no reason to pass judgment on a man who they're not going to shoot anything for almost a year.
Yeah.
So why? There's other things we could worry about, or we could talk about, other than screaming and bloody murder that Ben Affleck is going to play.
Okay,
Batman.
Let's talk about Miley Cyrus at the VMAs.
I saw that. I don't want to. I still feel dirty.
That was just dumb. It wasn't even dirty. It was dumb.
Yeah, it was
that,
pretty.
That weird little rubber underwear screwed up her butt.
Yeah,
it looked weird.
It was pretty uncomfortable.
I was more worried about her circulation. I seriously was worried about circulation in her legs. Because they deformed her butt cheeks. They were all like pinched and weird looking.
Pretty funky.
It was like you poor thing. And then she did her hair in a really stupid looking. And then there were like teddy bears dancing on stage. I'm like, I am not with it anymore.
Yeah.
I am uncool. And you know what? Apparently I'm really good with that.
Really?
I'm okay with being uncool.
Awesome.
Because if that's what it is, I'm good with not being it.
Awesome. But no, so that happened this weekend.
Well, you were talking about big news stories. So.
Yeah. And then Miley Cyrus's twerking took over everything, which is good.
I don't even know what twerking is.
Yeah, it's some kind of weird, I don't know. Who knows what it is. I'm not hip enough to know what twerking is, and I don't care to know what twerking is.
Yeah.
I just know that she did it up against freaking Robin Thicke, and it looked disgusting because he's like 25 years her senior.
I barely even know who that is.
Yeah. It's Alan Thicke's son.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I know who that is.
Yeah.
Win, lose, or draw.
Or Growing Pains.
Growing. Yeah, sure. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, see? Dang it.
Thus it all comes back to
Leonardo
DiCaprio.
Or not Growing Pains.
No, Alan Thicke was on Growing Pains, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. For some reason, I said Growing Pains, and immediately I thought of the Michael J. Fox Show.
Oh, Family Ties.
Yeah, I was getting screwed up in my head. I was
like, wait a minute.
That's
Michael Gross. What? I just went through puberty again.
Oh, I know, right?
Which I did while watching Family Ties. Michael Gross was the dad on Family
Yes,
Ties.
Yes. So, enough about all that, gang.
Yeah.
Dave and I have got that out of the way. Let's answer some fan questions.
Fan questions?
Fan questions, Dave. Dun, 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 dun. Fan questions, Dave.
Fan questions.
Dun, 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 dun. Fan questions, Dave.
Fan questions.
Yeah. Fan questions.
There's some music for you.
I know, right?
Yeah.
There's no twerking going on in this house, dang it.
Probably not.
That's probably a good thing, too.
I'm not really sure what that is, so we could be doing it right now and just not know.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Thank God. We got some questions. Super Saint 553 says,
yeah, don't get those guys confused.
I know.
You monster.
Dang it. Says, good sirs, as of this writing, the Master sub has officially met its goal, but the DC Universe sub and Ecto sub have both failed to go through. Yeah, well, I know. We called that.
Well, yeah. No, that one came in like right after we recorded the show.
Yeah.
Last week.
Says, what factors do you feel led to these subs failing? I, for one, think the DC failed for many, many reasons, from the low quality and high price of the figures, the lack of accessories compared to Masters, and putting the less desirable containment suit Doomsday and the sub as Tier 1, leaving the more desirable Unleashed Doomsday as the unrealistic Tier 2. I, for one, knew the sub would barely make Tier 1, and even then would not want to be stuck with it to get an overpriced build-a-figure that I don't want. I mean, we've talked about these.
Yeah, we did cover it. I do think, obviously, having the, like you said, the less desirable Doomsday.
Yeah.
You know, that the whole tier thing's stupid. It should have just been a lower tier and had the good Doomsday, and people would have.
Yeah.
Maybe have the containment suit one be a regular figure in the line or something.
Exactly.
Like Rocket Red. Yeah, that was dopey. I mean, they never did themselves any favors. Let me put it that way.
Right.
And as we already kind of rehashed a lot of the characters were kind of
bogus,
scraping, not bogus,
well,
but
scraping the bottom of the barrel. Yeah.
Although I will say, you know, I Big Bad had a pre-order for the figures they've announced.
Right.
And I put one in for Ice, and they have not canceled her yet.
Oh, well, that's good.
So,
well, maybe they'll leave them open thinking that.
Fingers crossed.
Maybe they've got something that we don't know from Mattel, and they're just, you know.
Yeah, maybe that'd be cool. So. That'd be a, there you go, Mattel. Like, work out a thing with the onlines. And,
yeah, release them that way.
Yeah.
So, as previously mentioned, last time I wrote in, I finished off a carded Food Fighters collection this summer. I also nearly completed what I felt was a solid Muppets collection, having almost every regular character and several exclusives, only lacking Animal as a character I really want. The price on Muppets is ridiculous high, as you know. Any thoughts to why no other toy company has picked up the license? The only other current figures I've seen are only sold at Disney World and Disneyland, of course, for Star Wars weekends, but still hold up nicely. Disney,
yeah. I agree.
Because they are producing all those now. They have been for the last few years doing the Muppets Star Wars stuff.
Yeah.
They've been doing all those pretty much whoever they do in-house. And their action figures are actually really well done.
They're pretty well done.
They're not as detailed as Palisades.
I was about to say that Palisades set a standard that nobody's going to meet.
And I think that's the part of the reason why no one has tried to do it again, because nobody can meet what Palisades did.
Yeah.
Without losing their butts, which is what Palisades did. So, but yeah, I mean, for now, anyone collecting the Muppet stuff, the Disney stuff that's out of the parks is probably the best stuff on the market right now, figure-wise. And you can actually buy those online if you go to DisneyParks.com, and they have a little if you look down at the bottom, I think there's a thing like that you can buy from DisneyParks.com, and you can just you literally call them and tell them what you want, and they'll package it, charge you, and ship it to you. So, which is pretty cool. He says, Dave, I appreciate your challenge to Jordan Himbrough's claim that no one has two flags. What is another piece in either of 2.5 now? What is another piece in either of your collections equivalent to the flag that if you purchased an extra would make Himbrough make another similar exclamation?
Palitoy Death Star.
Yeah.
I actually have 2 1 million BC playsets.
Yeah.
Maybe Starship Eternia.
Hmm.
I got a lot of cool stuff squirreled away here and there. I have 2 Kenner Death Stars, one in the box, one
right.
in display.
One in display, yeah.
You know, 6-inch IG-88, vintage.
Yeah.
Is that not enough?
I'm trying to think of anything in my collection that maybe if I had an extra...
The MASH playset is another good one.
Yep. Maybe if I had an extra... Star Ears playset.
Yeah.
That's complete. That would probably be like, nobody's got 2 of these. I do. I don't know if he'd say that with my Chuck Norris Karate Commandos Corvette, because I'd have 3 of those, technically. I mean, that's about it. I mean, there's really not anything. I mean, maybe 2 Ghost Buggies, you know, stuff like that. But
yeah.
I'm good with 1. So I'm not going to be accepting no challenges anytime soon. He says, lastly, I've been to 2 recent garage sales where I've revealed to the owner that I'm a collector and somewhat knowledgeable of going prices on things. Both sellers approached me about slightly older pieces, rare Beast Wars figures in nearly perfect shape, and the original Power Rangers Megazord. The little devil and angel popped up on my shoulders.
Can I just point out how depressing it is that he described Beast Wars and Power Rangers as older toys?
Well, 95. Think about it.
Can I just describe how depressing that is?
Sure.
All right, go on.
I was in high school when Power Rangers and Beast Wars was out.
I had just graduated college.
Yep, I know. The little devil and angel popped up on my shoulders and fought for my soul as I considered lowballing both owners and claiming the toys for cheap. Both sellers were moms that gave me great stories surrounding the backgrounds of how they bought the toys and how excited their kids were hearing this. The angel won, and I advised them both that the toys they wanted to sell were worth far more than garage sale prices and may mean more to them to just keep stored away or sold on eBay after some research. My question is, what both of you do in a similar situation? I've had friends say I should have lowballed them and walked away with the prize. Thanks again for all the content. You guys are great. I've had situations like that, and I always tell them, I always start out on an item like that. If somebody brought me something out like that and I had been talking to them as you were, I would have asked them first, well, what do you want to sell it? I mean, this is what it's worth.
You know, technically. I can't remember if we ever said this on the show, but apparently that's the trick, is you always get the other person to name the price first.
You know, I usually, in that situation, I'd be like, well, these are worth, you know, I've seen these sell for this price, but what are you looking to get out of it? You know, and usually that, they don't always start at the price that they're actually worth, because they're like, well, this, that, or the other. And then if they, you know, if they shoot you a lowball price, even after you've told them the price, I'll take it for the price they shot me that was low. And I'm going to be like, are you sure? And they'll be like, yeah, I just want to get rid of it. And then it's like, okay, well, I'll give it a good home. Some people may look frown upon that and go, you should just pay what it's worth. And yes.
See, the problem is there is no what it's worth.
Not anymore. Not with eBay. There is no solid.
But no, but there never was. If you understand capitalism at all, there is no what it's worth. It's worth what someone's willing to pay for it.
Right. So, which you would probably do the same thing in that situation for the most part. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm famous for never getting any kind of break on things. So if someone ever did like offer me like something amazing for like dirt cheap, I'd figure it was a karmic payback for all the jerks who never, you know. I don't know. If someone offered something really amazing for like ridiculously cheap, I might feel guilty about it.
Right.
But you know, as a general rule, if I would ask them what they want for it, and if that's what they want for it, then
that's what they want for it. Yeah. So, Nightmare 10880 says that, hey guys, show is a blast as usual every week. I don't know if this one's going to be that much of a blast because Grumpy Duvall is not Grumpy a good Duvall. Duvall. I look forward to hearing it as soon as I see the post on Facebook. I share it on my page as well. Well, thank you very much, sir. I figure you'll get a lot of people asking about the end of the DC and 6-inch lines and think you've already given the most honest and true opinions on this past week's episode. I do have a question. As Dave mentioned, a lot of the characters would be in C-listers. Do you guys think if Mattel had announced more variants on A-list characters like popular Elseworlds versions or stuff like Golden Age versions of Superman and Wonder Woman could have helped the subscription?
No. I mean, I don't think anybody was clamoring for variants.
Small pockets of people, but nothing.
No, I have... Because I mean, you know, we had Flash in the first year.
Yeah,
I really don't think people are that. I mean, I always have to go back and cover my tracks and say there's no character or costume variant or version of the character so obscure that somebody somewhere doesn't want
right.
Golden Age Superman.
Yeah,
did enough people care about Golden Age Superman to save the line? No.
Not at all.
No. And in fact, they people make fun of that Aquaman. That Aquaman, as I keep saying, is a very iconic 90s Aquaman.
Yeah, he is.
So I think he would have been a more popular character choice than a Golden Age Superman.
Right. True.
Personally.
He says, also, I've been thinking a lot about the way toys are marketed these days, and I don't understand why Mattel doesn't reach the fan communities more often. For instance, in an interview with Toy Guru hit the Friday before the deadline on Newsarama, one of the big comic book websites. Why didn't Mattel try something like that earlier? There are several Young Justice fans who were shocked to find out that there had been an attempted to pre-order Miss Martian and Superboy because they, being fans of the show, didn't follow toy collecting websites. It just seems odd to me that Mattel or any other company wouldn't try to reach out to these other sites to let more people know about them. Lawyers.
I was going to say Castle Grayskull.
Yes.
Hey, guys, we're going to give you all the advance inside information about this. Here's our pre-production art. The final design doesn't match the pre-production art. Robble, 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 right, robble. Right, right. Burn Mattel down. Right. Scott's a liar. Right. We hate him. That's why they don't give you that kind of information, because stuff changes.
Yeah. Now, smaller toy lines will reach out to communities to get people.
Well,
look at Four Horsemen's Gothitropolis.
Yeah.
Kickstarter. I mean, they reached out to every site.
Kickstarter, you have to.
Yeah. So, and they're the most successful toy Kickstarter of all time. So.
Yeah.
But that's part of the reason why Mattel just...
Yeah, it's a legal thing, and it's also just, it's a headache. Any information you give, you know, it could change, and then suddenly you're accused of being a liar.
Yeah, exactly. So, which sucks, because if they probably did reach out more often, the the Martian, you know, the Miss Martian and Superboy probably would have gone through and all that other stuff. Maybe.
Maybe, because, I mean, how many people who actually collected that line at retail understood a Maddie collector?
Right.
People don't grasp that. I mean, you have to be a fairly hardcore toy guy
to understand.
Because I knew a guy who was into Masters, and I kept trying to explain to him that there was a subscription thing online, and he just kept, okay, whatever.
Right.
You know, that's it's a new thing, and I think only really the hardcore bleeding edge guys are into it. And then you have that Maddie does this dopey subscription thing now, but you have to justify the toys. It's like exactly. Kickstarter, only not.
Right.
So I just think people, I don't think that would have mattered. I don't think people were used to buying the, especially the Young Justice stuff at retail.
Right.
And just didn't grasp that you had to go and pre-order this thing
and hope that it gets made.
Yeah.
So. We've all talked about our dream lines over the years, and for me recently, a lot of those have come true with the Figure Arts, Power Rangers, and Sailor Moon lines, as well as the 6-inch scale Star Wars Black line. While there are a lot of other lines I'd love to see, the one I'd love to see happen more than them is the one I think that has a more realistic chance to happen is the 6-inch G.I. Joe line based on the designs from Real American Hero and Iconic Cartoon. I'd love to see it done similar to how Hasbro has done the Star Wars Black line with both a 6-inch and 3¾ scales going at the same time. Think that'll ever happen?
Honestly, maybe.
I think it's possible.
I think Star Wars Black has done really well. I think the Retaliation figures, once you get past Wave 1, have sold really, really well.
Right.
I would genuinely... I don't know if it will happen, but I would be shocked if someone at Hasbro Toys has not floated the idea.
Has not floated the idea around.
Seriously floated the idea around.
Yeah, I agree. Be nice to see, though.
It'd be cool, but I mean, you know, I'd have the same reaction I have to the Star Wars line.
You'd cherry pick.
Even less so, because again, it's like Cobra Commander, Duke, Snake Eyes, Storm Shadow. You know, it's all the characters that I have 50 of already,
right,
just in a different scale.
Exactly.
I mean, once they got to like the Viper or Croc Master, which they're never going to do.
Right.
They'll never get to Croc Master, but they might do a Viper. But even he's kind of, because they'll do the Cobra Soldier first.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you know, the only character that might get done within the first 2 years is the Baroness.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it doesn't interest me to buy the same characters, particularly the ones I don't particularly love.
That reminds me, did you buy a custom Baroness in a schoolgirl outfit?
I did buy a custom Baroness.
That's what
in
I thought. I saw
outfit.
A picture of that. And anyway,
yeah, because I was talking to the guy, and he, like, apparently his wife dresses up.
No.
He was showing me pictures, and I'm like, I want to get back home to my girls.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, dear. Down, boy, down.
Yeah, I did.
It says, the only issue I see is that I don't know if G.I. Joe still has the same popularity in the mainstream as it once did.
Nope.
With Star Wars, its brand that crosses generations of various types of collectors as well as wide mainstream appeal. Joe, on the other hand, while it does have a large fan base, seems to have lost a lot of ground over the years, especially when you compare its relaunches to that of its sibling Hasbro property, Transformers, which has had better success at reinventing itself over the years.
Transformers has never gone away.
Yeah, and I know in my area that it really didn't seem as the... Though the Retaliation toy line did that well at retail, do you think Joe, let alone Real American Hero version, still has the popularity to do this type of toy line?
Barely.
Joe's
one of those things like Masters. It's got a rabid fan base.
Right.
Love it. That would support, especially if Hasbro did it relatively in limited numbers, like they're doing with the Star Wars line, where you just don't flood the market, and they'll sell really well.
Right. Well, and I think Rise of Cobra... Really, or not?
It did well. It was like the number 13 box office.
Yeah,
in America,
I mean,
so far.
We're going to get a third. We're going to get a third Joe movie done by the same director and probably the same writers, and they're going to, you know, the same cast is coming back. So
hopefully,
I think that their second attempt at a G.I. Joe film, even though they carried over the continuity of the first one, really helped to kind of scrub the memory of the first one.
Yeah, and I honestly thought it did an amazing job of sort of. Being faithful, I don't know how to put it. I was really impressed that they did keep the not only did they keep the continuity, but it was actually very relevant because of the whole Zartan president subplot.
Yeah.
And yet they made it its own movie, its own thing, had its own feel, and it did sort of like pick up the ball after fumbling from the first one.
Right.
I really think I'm more. Let me put it this way: like I enjoyed the film. But on another level, I'm much more impressed with it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like I enjoyed the film. I had a good time. I wish it had been more... To me, my classic G.I. Joe is, you know, Joe Army and then the Cobra Army and fighting on Cobra
Army.
Right. It's a little more epic in scope than, you know, the little thing that Joseph Colton had in his garage versus three Hiss tanks.
Right, exactly.
The scope was a little... little low.
Right.
But I thought they did a really good job with what they had.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm eager to see the next one.
Yeah. Slave Leia Stalker says, as always, loving the show, guys. Duvall's accident at the antique mall reminded me of the first time I went to a toy show with my dad at the end of the 80s, and my dad ended up knocking over a whole row of tables. Needless to say, we made a quick exit.
Yeah.
I don't blame you. We didn't so much make a quick exit.
I wanted to help clean up.
Yeah. Which reminds me, this weekend when I found a board game at an antique mall this week, Carrie goes, board game in. Instead of elbows in like she usually does, she's like, board game in. I'm like, okay. She's like, we're not going to have a repeat. I'm like, okay. He says, I was going to ask Dave how he would feel about a 6-inch size Black Series style of G.I. Joe, but I see Nightmares already beat me to that punch. Obviously, great minds think alike. But the other part of the question I was going to ask was, how you guys feel about toy lines changing sizes, scales, when an old size is abandoned? Dave, you kind of touched on this in the last show when you were talking about Gloob Star Trek versus the Playmate Star Trek Next Generation line that came out a few years later. Do you feel ripped off when you've invested so much in a toy line only to have it start again if you want to carry on collecting it?
Ripped off isn't quite the right word.
Sometimes a toy line and a scale just doesn't work at retail.
That's true.
Yeah. And sometimes when they try it again several years later, like I think if you
put the phrase several years later in, that changes the whole dynamic, because especially with like Star Trek,
it was a different company, it was
many years later.
Well, the Gloop stuff started right when the show started.
It wasn't popular at all. It was a rough first season.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can tell because like it's got Tasha Yar in the series.
Yeah.
Riker didn't have a beard.
Yep.
Whereas Playmates started like the 6th season, 7th season, it was late in the game.
Yeah, it was late in the game. Might have been the 5th season by the time they picked up the license and started to run with it.
But so it's a completely different thing. I mean, yeah, it would be neat to have Gloob figures from some of the later stuff, but that's just the way the cookie crumbles.
Yeah,
like I'm not annoyed about that. I mean, if somebody changed gears, and I'm sure it's happened at some point, that just completely changed gears halfway through, that would be irritating as all
exactly.
get out.
Exactly.
I know personally it didn't bother me, but I know a lot of Marvel fans were really, really angry/apprehensive when Universe first started.
Right.
Because they had invested all this time and money into
and Legends.
And they felt very betrayed and very angry. And
right.
Especially early on, there were a lot of characters that were made in Universe that were never made
Legends.
In Legends. Now, most of those have actually been made in Legends now.
Right.
But there was a lot of sort of annoyance and frustration. Personally, I was happy as a clam because I wanted a 3¾-inch, you know, Joe size Marvel line. So.
Right. Well, he actually touched on that in the next part of his question.
He said,
I've been through this once already.
I'm psychic John Wishbone.
Wound down Marvel Legends in 07 and had to flip to the 3¾-inch Marvel Universe, but that wasn't such a problem for me as I only had about 20 Hasbro Toy Biz Marvel Legends, and I genuinely like the smaller Marvel figures. However, I'm now going through the same thing with the scale change on the character options Underground Toys Doctor Who figures. That's a lot harder to stomach because
exactly the same scenario where, right. like, I hated that stupid scale. I love the selection of the characters that they did, but I hate that stupid scale because it doesn't go with anything.
Just between 5- and 6-inch
yeah,
scale.
Yeah, it just doesn't fit. Yeah. So, like, yeah, I've hopefully it just shipped from BBTS, my first wave.
He says, I already have 200 plus of the old 5-inch Doctor Who figures, and it doesn't help that I'm not impressed with the new 3¾-inch figures. These things make the Star Trek 2009 figures that Playmates put out look like something by NECA.
Oh, well, thanks for giving me something to look forward to.
I opened the new 3¾-inch Doctor up, and his head fell off as I was taking him out of the package, and my son was playing with the Dalek in one of its arms, and one of the lights on its head broke off. I am so not happy with these. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that a 5-inch scale Peter Capaldi figure turns up in a few months' time.
Well, they're still doing the 5-inch, I think.
Yeah. Otherwise, I think my Doctor Who collecting will be switching to Bevane Powell's Mego-style figures. I think here's the thing I think with Underground Toys' new scale is the fact that it's new for them. They've never done a 3/4-inch scale.
Yeah.
It's going to take them a little while to knock out the bugs. It's going to take them at least this first series to knock out the bugs and quality control, and I guarantee you most of that gets fixed halfway through the run. If it hasn't been fixed already, because these have been out for a little while overseas.
Overseas, yeah.
So if it hasn't been fixed by now, they're working out the kinks. Underground Toys is a company that listens to its fans, obviously. So they'll work out any kinks they have. I'd say give it some more time. Don't, you know.
Yeah.
If we all gave up on one series from a toy line, then
Hasbro, Star Wars, especially back in the day.
Oh, God, the Power of the Force.
Well, it was notorious. Like, the first wave of anything they did was awful.
Yeah.
I mean, like, vehicles, beasts, battle packs. That first wave, you always had to endure it to get to the good stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
So
I'd say give it some time, and hopefully it'll get better. I'm looking forward to seeing the ones Dave got.
Me too.
You know, we should have reviews of those on the site.
Hopefully once Dave gets them. There's a big stack on the table.
Yeah.
So in about a week or two, start looking for a lot of reviews from Dave.
Yeah. So that's because Duvall reminded Dave, hey, take pictures of stuff and the video of the packages of the stuff you need, and then just open it. Yeah. That way you don't have stuff like packages. That way you can play with it. And Dave was like, oh, yeah. Forgot about that. Well, there you go, guys. Thanks for the questions this week. We apologize greatly if this show was not its happy-go-lucky self this week. Been pretty stressful around
that. It's been a weird week.
It's been a weird week, especially as we, you know, as I'm prepping.
So what are we up to percentage-wise?
For
your upload.
Oh.
I believe the fans would like to know, have a slight
hint. It's at 21% now.
Oh, that's not bad.
A little bit of a jump.
That's like 6% the hour that we've been talking.
I know, right? Jesus. I'll let it continue loading. I don't know why it's taking so dang long.
Well, you said you started at 3, so it's like in 1 hour we've jumped as much. Mm. We've jumped a third as much as you've been doing for the past 6 hours.
I hate the internet. Hate
3 hours, whatever.
Hate it.
So anyway.
No thoughts with ADOS this week. He's still off.
Yeah.
He'll be back. I did talk to him this last week, and he's doing all right.
He's hanging in there. Yeah, I talked to him too.
Yeah, he took another week off work and just kind of hanging out, and he's filming a bunch of Figgy Arts reviews. So there'll be a bunch of those coming from DOS.
Sweet.
So yeah, something to look forward to. But there you go, guys. Again, CrazyKingsOfToys.com is down. They'll be back. Have no fear, our sponsor will return. So I guess until next week, Dave.
You don't have to go home, but you can stay here.
Hey, the toy bar's closed, people. I'm going to go continue to watch my upload and watch it not go anywhere.
Woohoo!
Fun stuff.